Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 101 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I'm the cookie creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And if you are listening to this show through iTunes, which I highly recommend, that's how I like to listen to all of my favorite podcasts, because I can just take them around with me on the road or when I'm cleaning or whatever. I can just put them on my device and stick them in my bra or my pocket and go. But if you do listen through iTunes, I don't know if I owe you an apology, but I want to apologize because I recently noticed that they stuck a 30-second Walmart commercial on the front of every single one of my episodes. Apparently Blog Talk did this, not iTunes, but it's showing up on iTunes. And I might have written to them a little perturbed by this, but I do understand that this is a free service that I'm using, and I'm super grateful that I get to talk to you all because of Blog Talk Radio. So I guess they can stick a Walmart commercial on the front. They told me, basically, we are not taking that commercial off, but if you would like to participate, if you want to sign up, we will give you part of the money that we earn through that. And I chose not to do that because I don't take sponsors for this show yet. I might one day if I thought they were, like, appropriate and things that you guys want to hear about, but I haven't even gotten into that whole mess. I just wanted to be able to come here and talk to you from the heart and be silly and swear and do whatever I want to do and have it be more of a personal thing. And to me, that's just, like, blood money, taking money from Walmart, even if it's just a few pennies here and there. So I ain't going to do it, but I apologize if that's bugging you. I didn't do it. Also, I kind of didn't want to do the show today, as it was as the little automated countdown voice was counting down to the show, like 5 seconds till your show starts. I was like, oh, I just want to hang up because I just feel super exposed and weirded out by what I have done to myself today in doing a show called The Pisces Avatar, Christ Consciousness for the New Age. It sounds very highfalutin, for one. So let me just say now, I'm not going to be imparting some deep wisdom on you. I'm just going to be sharing my personal experience. And that's part two of why I feel like totally uncomfortable today. Because I'm like, ugh. Do I really want to share this? I really hesitated because I don't want to upset my family, who I don't think listens to this anyway. And I don't want to come off like the freak I am to those of you who might be a little less freaky. But I am freaky, damn it. And today I shall let my freak flag fly. And I knew that I was going to be talking about this. I had this in my calendar for like a month. I knew I wanted to talk about this today because, what is this little, let me open up my date book here. The sun enters Pisces tomorrow. I thought that was interesting, and I kind of had in the back of my mind that I've been wanting to talk about Pisces. I wasn't sure, but I had it in my calendar. And I thought it was interesting that was on the calendar for today, and I just had, my aunt just died very, very suddenly, out of the blue, kind of spun my family out into a bit of chaos, because in addition to that, my uncle had a heart attack hours within that happening. So my family, as you probably know if you listen to me, they're all Christian. My parents were missionaries. This particular uncle is a pastor in the Christian church, or was, and they love Jesus. I am the only one. I'm the black sheep in the family, and we have a kind of don't ask, don't tell policy about that. And I went to go, you know, see everybody this weekend because of what happened, and I was sitting with my mom and my uncle, and they were saying, you know, kind of presenting the facts that, you know, my aunt died and now she can be reunited. This is going to turn into a long story. With her husband, my uncle and my aunt were divorced. She had a new husband. Now they'll be reunited in heaven. Then my uncle started quoting the scriptures saying, you know that you will not be reunited in heaven as husband and wife. There will be no husbands and wives in heaven. And you were just there to worship the Lord. And just got into a lot of that stuff. And I couldn't help myself. Even under the circumstances, I still had to say, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that's true. This was also in addition to a neighbor telling my uncle that my aunt had visited him 3 times since she died, and him informing the neighbor that that was not possible, that she was in heaven with the Lord. So I couldn't help myself. I had to say, that is not true. I don't believe in that. I guess I just normally at family functions, I let these things go, and I pray with them, and I believe in God in my own way, and I pray in my own way. But I guess I don't like it being presented to me kind of dogma that way, like these are the facts. So my mom's eyes got really huge, and she was like, let's not talk about it. Don't talk about it. My uncle wanted to talk about it. He's like, you don't believe in the Bible? And I said, no. I think it's metaphorical and that there are many allegories in the Bible. And he said, you don't believe in Jesus? And I just paused really, really long, and I saw my mom was like wanting so badly to shut me up. And I just said, I don't believe in the Jesus that you do, probably not in the same way. And then my mom was like, please, let's just not talk about this. So we stopped talking about it. So that's my whole story about that. But I just thought, like, holy cow, I was planning on talking about Jesus on Tuesday. You know, this happened, and my aunt, maybe she is with Jesus, maybe she's in heaven. I don't know, but I just thought it was weird that that all came up, because we haven't had a run-in like that in a very, very long time. And apparently this is going to be a really rambly show because it's extremely personal. Let me just reiterate that. This is personal. I'm not preaching anything at you. I'm not imparting any spiritual truths on you. I'm just sharing my personal story because I feel like it. That's all. But another tie-in with all of this is when I was a teenager and I kind of lost my religion, so to speak. Something that I always had was this connection to Jesus when I was a little kid. So that was really confusing to me because I talked to Jesus and I felt like very tuned in that way, very spiritual. So when I stopped being a Christian, I had a long period of guilt. I entered into a really long kind of dark night of the soul thing. I explored yoga. I explored Buddhism. I explored every new agey thing you can think of. I think just trying to get my bearing on what was real and what was true for me. And something that I did, I worked with a book called Opening to Channel, and I don't have that here with me, or I would tell you, just Google it and I'm sure you'll find it. But I taught myself how to channel using this book, and it was so easy. I think because I was such an open little kid and I was always just, I had this ongoing dialogue with God, that it was so easy to channel that in the middle of the night, like night after night after night, for I don't even know for how long, years, I, in my 20s, spent tons of time channeling, doing automatic writing, and I always did this little opening that I learned from that book saying, I ask all high guides from the white light and love from the fifth dimension and above to join me now. And that just became a thing that I said. I felt a very clear, distinct shift in my energy and a presence that actually moved my body involuntarily. I wasn't moving it. and my hand if I was doing automatic writing. So I was fully convinced that I was talking to these guides or these spirits. And then as I matured and went on my path and found other new things, that kind of just became the way that I contacted spirit, even though I started wondering, what am I contacting? Is it my higher self? Is it Jesus? Is it spirit guides? I don't know, but the information is good. It feels wise. It feels like love. It's never, steered me wrong. So I just kept with that invocation of I ask all high guides from the white light and love from the fifth dimension and above to join me now. And I would say that, years and years later when I started reading tarot cards, if I just wanted a bit of intuitive information, if I would just get really quiet, if I wanted to answer to things, and it just has always worked for me. So I feel like if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing. So this is a long story, and it's a story. I don't even remember why, but I just started reading something or I saw something on the internet. I don't remember about giving your spirit guides a name. I don't know if I'm talking to one spirit, a collective of spirit, if I'm tapping into divine energy. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. And I said this whole prayer about, if you have a name, if you want me to call you by a name, I'm open to receiving that. Just give me a sign and let me know. So this is the part that I feel kind of weird sharing with you because it's weird, but also like I don't even know, is it disrespectful to share the name that I call my guides with the public? I have no idea. But I guess I'm going to. God strike me down if this is wrong. I don't know, but I just feel like sharing it today, even if it's making me uncomfortable. So I went on a walk. I walk a lot. I go on a lot of walks. That's how I connect with nature, and that's how I kind of clear my head or whatever. And I was walking around my neighborhood, and a litter of black baby kittens, and I have a long history with black cats. I've always had black cats ever since I was a tiny little kid myself, a little litter of feral wild black kittens like poked their head up from this hole and then they were like running around and playing together. And I just felt myself slip into childlike joy state that I get into when I'm out in nature and when I'm just kind of blank, just open to the vibe and out of my head or whatever. And all of a sudden I heard the word Pisces. And this is at the beginning of my walk. So I was like, Pisces? That's so weird. Why am I thinking Pisces? And I had, asked before my walk that my spirit guides, is this what you, I asked that they give me their name. So I'm thinking, like, Pisces? Am I supposed to call my guide Pisces? So I'm at the beginning of my walk, so I like rush through the whole lot because I have this route that I like to do, thinking like, Pisces, Pisces, what is this? Because I'm a Libra, I have a Scorpio moon, my ascendant is in Capricorn. I usually date or marry Scorpios. I have certain signs that I know a lot about because they're personal to me, but I knew almost nothing about Pisces. So I'm like, what is this? And this seems so weird. I knew that Pisces kind of represented this age that we're leaving, supposedly. We're going into the age of the Aquarius. And I was like, that's weird. Would I be like tapping into old, the old age that we're leaving now, right as we're going into this new age? And I'm supposed to be this super groovy new age person. Like, why would my spirit guides want to call themselves Pisces? So I went home and had like a whole crazy Google fest and found all kinds of relationships, not only between Jesus, which was the first spirit guide that I connected to and that I have this long, 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 deep history with, but also lapis lazuli, which is like my favorite stone that I often hold and use when I'm calling in my spirit guides. And something about it just felt right. So I started, writing, the fish symbol that Christians, they often have like a bumper sticker of that. Whenever I see that bumper sticker now, when I was a kid, I would see it and I'd be like, yes, a fellow Christian, they are also saved. And now I see, and it really makes me laugh, because I just think, oh my gosh, if my family only knew. Pisces, my witchy spirit guide. And it just makes me smile, and it makes me feel good. And I have a very kind of rock and roll, fly by the seat of my pants spiritual practice. I just do what feels right. I just go with the moment. It's very intuitive, super personal to me. So please, again, don't start running around telling everybody that Pisces is Jesus and we're leaving the age of Jesus and going into the age of Aquarius. I don't know. I'm just telling you, this is my experience. It is not what I'm not saying this will be or should be true for you. In fact, I strongly encourage you to go on your own inner journey and peace it together in a way that is entirely unique and personal to you. I was just fascinated to learn about this Pisces connection to this psychic experience that I have all the time and have had since I was a little kid that began with Jesus. And it was really fun to read that Pisces is considered a very psychic astrological sign, which makes tons of sense when you think about that I was connecting with this energy psychically. So maybe that's all Pisces meant. Maybe it was just another word of saying psychic. I have no idea. And also, I think it's interesting that Pisces is sometimes called the end and the beginning of the zodiac, which ties right into this whole idea of Jesus being referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything, I guess, in the Bible. So the Pisces avatar, Christ consciousness for the new age. And I wrote a piece for my friend Dawn Champagne's, her blog, The Goddess Diaries. I wrote a piece called In Defense of Athena. And I just felt compelled at the beginning to clarify that I do not worship a god or a goddess. I'll read you what I wrote there because I can say that more articulately because I wrote it down with some thought. But I want to reiterate that here as well. I do not worship the goddess. I do not believe in her because I do not believe in personified deity. I am a pantheist who believes in a mysterious creative force known as the divine. I believe that the divine is in everything and that everything is in the divine. I also believe that men created God in an effort to better grasp and convey the divine, that great ineffable mystery, to themselves and their communities of which many legends were born. In other words, man was not created in the image of God. God was created in the image of man. And then I went on to say about how I think that's also true of the goddess, which that piece was about, and how that could be a vital, important step in our ability to embrace our own divinity. As women, for example, creating the goddess in our image is a path to healing some very old wounds that we might have from growing up in a patriarchal religion and ultimately touching the divine within. So I wanted to say that. I don't know if being a pantheist is the one true path, and I'm not saying that. That's my path. But an avatar, me, you know, saying that Pisces is an avatar for this age that we're in or just leaving, depending on how you want to look at it. An avatar is basically a deity come to earth in human form, which is something that I am actually exploring a bit in the novel that I'm writing, but in a much more, in a much witchier way. but in terms of the Hindu concept of an avatar, Jesus Christ would definitely qualify. I drew a picture of Jesus as a yogi. I posted that on Facebook for today's show so you all could see. Look, Yogi Jesus. And I have a book called The Yoga of Jesus, and across the top of it, it says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And that whole book is about how Jesus was a yogi, supposedly, those years that he went missing before he came back preaching the word of God and all of that. He was learning how to be a yogi, and then he came back and imparted that wisdom to the people. More folklore, I have no idea if it's true. But I do think it's important to recognize the difference between Jesus and Christ, like Jesus the man and Christ, Christ consciousness, Jesus Christ, because those are two different things. Christ consciousness means different things to different people, but to me, it is the Buddha nature, the divine light that we each contain within and are ultimately made up of. So kind of like I was saying about being a pantheist, the divine is in everything and everything is in the divine. So being conscious of that and bringing that light to the forefront of our lives would be about walking in love and peace, which supposedly Jesus did, at least the Jesus that I was raised on as a very little girl before the stories started getting, you know, a bit more hairy. The Jesus that they taught us in preschool and kindergarten in those early years. The Jesus that touched my heart as a small child. The Jesus who I talked to every day and night when I was a kid. I mean, I just had an ongoing dialogue. The Jesus that I prayed to and saw in every cloud and leaf and flower and rainbow. That Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He was the personification of agape, or divine love, perfect love. So that's what Christ consciousness means to me. I saw a piece on Edgar Cayce, the famous channeler, I guess you could call him. Is that a word, channeler? I went through a big Edgar Cayce phase in Atlantis and Lumeria and all that stuff. I thought that was pretty fun for a while. But I saw a piece on Edgar Cayce that claimed that Jesus was a pattern for wholeness. And when I hear the word pattern, my mind immediately says archetype. So this piece claimed that Jesus was a pattern for wholeness and that God desires to be expressed in the world through us. So that, you know, the example set by Jesus is supposedly a pattern of wholeness for each and every soul. So maybe he was an archetype of the divine human, which, again, as a pantheist, I got to say, I believe we all are. And when you look at it that way, maybe it's just that we forget that and need to be reminded of it sometimes. We are pieces of the divine. We are spirits having a human experience. And maybe we get so wrapped up in our human experience that we need a Jesus-type avatar to remind ourselves of that. Maybe we as a collective forgot that at some point and needed a figure like Jesus to remind us. I really don't know. And then in terms of Jesus as an avatar for the new age, I think it's interesting to note all of the fish symbolism. I should say Christ, not Jesus. Fish symbolism that surrounds the stories of Jesus Christ and that he was, at least in the Western world, the avatar for the last 1,800 years or so, and that there are approximately 2,000 years, I think. I'm not an astrologer, but I think there's supposedly 2,000 years in an astrological age, which means that we are now on the cusp. We're in between ages. So we've got 1 foot in Pisces and 1 foot in Aquarius. And I also read, some all kinds of wild stuff. It gets really weird and interesting and bizarre when you start reading about this kind of thing on the internet, in my opinion. People have some very out there ideas about this stuff. But I read a piece about how the age of Pisces is over. I cut and pasted this. I'm just reading. Pisces values are being wiped out, causing unprecedented change and upheaval in our lifetime. And we are not done yet. The Piscean values of money, power, and control are being replaced. They do not resonate with the values of the new great cycle, the Age of Aquarius, whose values are love, brotherhood, unity, and integrity. See, now, I would totally argue with that. I would argue that those were the values taught by Jesus. He wasn't teaching money, power, and control. He was teaching love, brotherhood, unity, integrity, love your neighbor as yourself. The author of that piece did make a point that I do agree with, though, in saying that the Piscean age, being an age of water, was about the spiritual feeling and perception beneath our five senses, and that it was kind of hidden beneath our five senses, and that perhaps many of us were reluctant to or were taught not to look beyond our five senses too. And maybe that's why we have a word like occult to begin with. Another piece I saw was calling the age of Pisces the age of deception. And I think it's important to honor where we come from, which would be the age of Pisces, and to not try to like outrun our shame by telling ourselves, that was the age of deception, but we're headed now toward, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Everything's gonna be fabulous. I don't think we need to like outrun our shame by telling ourselves fantastical tales about how all shall be redeemed and revealed in what will be this perfect utopian age of Aquarius. That to me, ironically, is just more Christian dogma disguised as New Age dogma. And it kind of cracks me up that people don't sense themselves going there. I'm like, don't you see the similarities between this so-called New Age, this age of New Aquarius, and the heaven promised by Christianity? How can you not see that? Drives me crazy. And maybe it will be, as some of these people claim, that all will be revealed in the age of Aquarius. Hidden doctrines and spiritual truths that were previously shrouded in secrecy will become common knowledge. I think that's a really exciting thought. But those of us who've been exploring the occult for many years and developing our psychic gifts and talking to spirit guides and channeling and doing all this, finding our own spiritual truths, I feel like we're already kind of experiencing that. So, I don't know. Some of you new agier types out there might be going, yes, we're on the cusp. Some of us experienced this shift in 2012, and some of us will experience this shift in the next generations. I really don't know. I don't think, though, that you have to wait for some special time to be born again or to shift or to ascend. I think the time is now. This is the age. This is your life. And I think it would be a pity to spend your life waiting for some later payoff. I think the 3D reality is pretty spiffy in that if we bring a sense of inner peace and love to what we are doing, then Christ consciousness, if you will, can be alive and activated in the way we live our lives today. So, why do a show like this? The Pisces avatar, Christ consciousness for the new age. Why would I be talking about this? Someone who's like, I don't believe in anything. I don't know. I don't know. I just wanted to share, and you can make of it what you will. You will rarely, though, I will say, hear me talk about my guides because they are mine. And I do get the sense, I do not get the sense that I am some kind of channel for the masses. I don't have the feeling that these messages are coming through me for you and that I'm here to deliver a message. In fact, if anything, I often just think it's me talking to me. My subconscious or maybe my higher self is imparting intuitive wisdom that I don't typically have access to when I'm all up in my head and going about the mundane duties of my everyday life. But that guidance has been valuable. It's been valuable for me. It has helped me make some very good decisions in my life. And as far as I can tell, it's all based in peace and love. So I'm going to keep talking to Pisces. I'm going to keep calling in all high guides from the white light and love from the fifth dimension and above because it works for me. And that's good enough for me. So until we meet again, same place, same time, next Tuesday, noon Pacific, I am sending you much love. Peace.